Hugo Spears is a research fellow at University College London and, as you heard, gave a lecture on navigation at the British Association Festival of Science in Liverpool. Which brings me to the question I posed last week. What happened at the BA meeting in Cambridge back in 1833 involving the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge? You know, Rime of the Ancient Mariner. What happened then that's affected scientists ever since? Richard Holmes tells the story.
The story is, it's very interesting. It's the third meeting of the British Association and the history of that, how it begins, how the Royal Society don't like it, how they have a different attitude to women taking part, and how they're going to do the regions. They won't go to London. They started in York, and this one was in Cambridge, which was a great triumph to capture Cambridge. So they had this meeting at which it sort of shapes the story in an extraordinary way. Everybody's there. The young John Herschel, the son of William Herschel, is going to become possibly the most famous public Victorian scientist. The young Michael Faraday is there. Whewell is there, the geologist. And among this group is the aging Coleridge, now in his 60s. There's a wonderful account. He says, I'm back in Trinity. They know how to make a bed here. I lay down as a man and I got up as a bruise. Anyway, he partakes, or everybody comes, gives his one of the levies. He gets on very well with Michael Faraday, very interesting. And he writes this note about Michael Faraday saying, I see the lineaments of genius in this young man, because he has this thing which also great writers have, is there's part of him that has never grown up. It's not childlike, but it's that very, very youthful spirit of inquiry that just goes on and on, sort of bubbling up. It's very interesting, he writes that, a thing that he'd said earlier, probably of Wordsworth as well. So there is a great meeting, presided over by the rather stern Reverend William Whewell, later becomes president of Trinity. He's famous because he bans, this is relevant, he bans from Trinity, he says, no dogs, no cigars, and no women. But he's actually also a very interesting man. They have this discussion about bringing together all the various forms of the physical sciences. And therefore, the question arises, is there some general term by which we can refer to people who are either mathematicians or astronomers or geologists or botanists? Is there some general term? The old 17th century term really was natural philosopher. And philosopher is often used, it's quite confusing in many texts at this period. You have to reread it. And there is a discussion. And Coleridge says, you can no longer use natural philosopher. It's confusing. And what you're doing is something quite different now. You're opening up a different world, a different way of looking at the world. And I think it's Whewell who says, what about the word scientist? And then there's a sort of growling about this. I think Coleridge quite likes it. And one of the clergymen there says, well, it reminds me of the word atheist. And of course, then there's general seizure, and it's completely, no, we can't do that. But in fact, it sticks, and it's in the Oxford English Dictionary by about 1840. And suddenly, the word, the history of the word is itself interesting because its relationship to atheism is very important. What is science? What effect will it now have on religious belief?
And from that time on, we've had the word scientist, with, from the start, its slightly godless association, thanks to the poet Coleridge and the Reverend Whewell. Richard Holmes, who joins me on In Conversation next Thursday evening at 7:30, ABC Radio National.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.